Good morning. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go down with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The last few weeks we've been looking at the book of Exodus, and we've been being reminded of the family of Jacob and what they've been through. They've been living in Egypt for over 400 years, and for about 400 years they were a people in slavery. They called out to God, "God, free us, God, do something." And finally God does. God sends a deliverer. And the deliverer is supposed to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Pharaoh doesn't believe the words Moses said. Moses said, "My God has told me to tell you, let my people go." Pharaoh doesn't believe. The family of Jacob, the people of God who had been enslaved, who had been living as slaves for 400 years, they didn't trust Moses, because when Moses went and talked to Pharaoh, Pharaoh made life harder for the family of Jacob. They didn't trust him. But eventually, Pharaoh let these people go. And these people followed Moses out into the desert, out into the wilderness. And along with this family, these 12 tribes, were other people groups who left Egypt because they were tired of being oppressed, they were tired of being slaves, they were tired of not being able to do what they wanted to do, so they saw their chance to leave. These people, most of them former slaves, saw God's activity. They saw his presence through the things that he had done. There were 10 plagues that finally convinced Pharaoh to let God's people go. They got into the desert, and they were stuck between this sea in front of them and Pharaoh's chariots coming behind them, and they saw God make a way through the sea by parting it and then closing the sea over the chariots following them. They were in a desert. There was no water, and God provided water, not once, but twice. They were a month into their journey, and they were running out of food, and God began to daily provide quail and manna. And then they get to Mount Sinai about a year into their journey, and God begins to provide instructions on how they are to live as a different people from those other peoples that they're going to interact with on their way to the Promised Land and in the Promised Land. And along the way, he keeps asking them, "Trust me. Trust me, and I will provide." And they're at Sinai. They're beginning maybe to trust. They're seeing that God is providing, but they get tired of waiting for Moses and God while Moses and God are meeting on Mount Sinai. They think God has abandoned them once again. They have trust issues. They keep thinking that God has brought them into the wilderness, out into this desert to have them die off. They feel like they've been abandoned while God and Moses are up on Mount Sinai having a conversation. So the people go to Aaron, who is Moses' right-hand man, his brother, and they say, Moses has left us, God has left us, make us a god, and we'll worship the god, and this is the god who will say, brought us out of Egypt, and will lead us into what's next. I don't know if you caught it last week, but when God was speaking to Moses in chapter 32, God says, Moses, go down from this mountain, because your people, the people you led out of Egypt, are doing some crazy stuff. Moses' people, the people Moses led. So Moses goes down the mountain. He sees what the people are doing. He can't believe what the people are doing because they've been given 10 commandments, and in their worship of this false god, they probably broke all 10. So he's, Aaron, what's going on? And Aaron blames everybody else. You know how bad these people are. You know how wicked they are. They made me do this. He blames everybody else. Now, God told Moses they were Moses' people, your people, the people you led. But did you catch in today's passage, Moses says, God, remember these are your people? These are your people, your very own people. Now, at the beginning of chapter 33, we kind of skipped over it a little bit, but at the beginning of chapter 33, God tells Moses, I'm going to send an angel to lead you. And this angel is going to drive out the people who are currently living in the land of promise. I'm going to send an angel. I'm going to send a messenger. I'm going to send someone ahead of you to guide you. And Moses says, God, unless you go with us, don't send us away from this place. We know you are here, and we would rather be here with your presence and give up the promises that you have for you've told us about, because we want your presence. We know that we can't do anything without your presence. In chapter 32, the people got tired of waiting, and they made some serious mistakes because they tried to do something that God hadn't asked them to do. And sometimes we mistake inactivity. We mistake waiting for inactivity. How many of us have had to wait at a doctor's office? I'd say probably all of us have had to wait at a doctor's office. And we can think that waiting is inactivity because we can't see what the doctor's doing. I don't like to wait. I'm sure most of you don't like to wait. But what I try to tell myself when I'm having to wait and I'm getting frustrated because I've got other things to do, the doctor is spending time with other patients. And in that time they're spending with that other patient, they're bringing health to that person. I want to believe that because when the doctor finally gets to me, that's what they do for me. They bring health to my body. They bring health to whatever it is I'm dealing with. They make me better. I know what they've done for me, so I assume that's what they're doing for others. And I want them to take their time with others to bring health to them because I want that doctor to take their time with me to bring health to me. Now we can imagine a doctor just sitting in their office making us wait because they have the power to do that. And that's probably what the people of God thought God and Moses were doing. They're just making us wait. There's no good reason for us just being here. We're supposed to get to the promised land, but we're here at Sinai and we're not moving. Something's gone wrong. We've got to do something. And in their doing, they made some serious mistakes. So God tells Moses, my presence won't go with the people because if I go with them, they might die. Parents on a road trip, you ever experience that? They're not all going to make it. God says they're sinful, they're evil, they've done all these things wrong, and because of who I am, they might not make it to the promised land. So I'm not going to go with them. I'm going to send an angel. And the angel's going to fulfill all the things that I have promised. And Moses says, and the people, if we read earlier in 33, the people grieve that God's not going to go with them because they want the presence of God with them. Moses knew what was going on behind the scenes, even though the people down below didn't know. They just thought they were waiting, but Moses had a glimpse of God at work. And Moses says, unless you go with us, don't send us away from here. Unless your presence goes with us, unless you are at work, don't make us go elsewhere because we want to be with you. The psalmist says something similar. He says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It's useless for people to move forward unless God is going with us. Because if God isn't going with us, we're trying to force something. We're trying to do something. And oftentimes, when we're trying to do something, we make some serious mistakes. In the New Testament, Jesus says something similar too. He's talking to the crowds that had been following him in Luke 14, and he tells them, you've got to count the cost of following me. You have to count the cost of what it means to be a follower of God. You have to take up your cross daily and follow me. And for some, they considered the cost too much, so they left. And I'm sure those who were at Sinai, there were some who began to make their way elsewhere because they were tired of waiting, and so they had to do something, but in their doing, they made some serious mistakes. Moses said, unless you go with us, don't send us away from here. There's a story of a young boy who, he was trying to learn the Lord's Prayer, and he learned it by listening during church. We'll say the Lord's Prayer here in just a little bit, and probably some of our younger ones are picking up on the words we say and the prayer that we pray. And one Sunday morning, this little boy was confident that he had learned it, and he was vocal in praying the prayer. And you could hear his voice above everybody else when they prayed, Our Father who art in heaven, I know you know my name. At the end of the passage that we read, God said, I know your name. Moses says, don't send us away from here unless you go with us. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me or you're pleased with us as your people if you don't go with us? And again, Moses says, we're your people, God. If you don't go with us, how will people know that we're different? If you don't go with us, how will we be distinguished from all the other people on earth? When God is with his people are different. Because he's taught them how to do life his way, and other people don't know how to do God's life, how to do life God's way. And he works in our lives to show others how to do life his way. God says, okay, I'll go with you because I am pleased with you and I know your name. God knew Moses and Moses knew God. If we fast forward several books, God tells Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. God knew Moses, God knew Jeremiah. If we go to the New Testament, when Jesus is calling his disciples, there's a man named Philip who comes, and Jesus says to Philip, I know you. I know what you were doing right before this. I know what you were thinking about. I know you. God knows Moses, God knows Jeremiah, God knows Philip, and God knows you. He knows who you are. And you found favor with him. He will go with you. He will go with us. He knows us. And he wants us to know him. We should have the same attitude as Moses. Don't send us anywhere unless you are going to go with us. How else will people know that you are pleased with us? How else will we be distinguished from others? In Rebecca's, in my first year of marriage, she was teaching at a school in Lubbock, and I was working as a youth director and as a college minister. And in the midst of our first year of marriage, where so many things are new, so many things are changing, we began to feel like we needed to go to seminary. And we kept making plans to go visit seminary, to go look at where we wanted to go learn and get our degree from. And every time we made plans, our plans fell through. And eventually it was time to either sign a new contract for a new year, to be a teacher, to find a full-time job, to do something else. And I freaked out a little bit because I was like, I don't know. Kentucky's a long way away. That's where we wanted to go to school. That's where we felt God was leading us. But Kentucky's a long way away, and I'd never been to Kentucky. And eventually we said, okay, we think this is where God's leading us. We're going to go. So we got a Penske truck. We filled it with all of our worldly belongings. We got to Kentucky, and there were these little bitty country roads that the map took us on to get to Wilmore, Kentucky, and there was barely enough room for our truck to be on the road, much less cars going back and forth. And we pull into Wilmore, and we get there, and we're like, "This is not what we imagined. This is not what we thought was going to happen. This is not what we pictured in our minds." And we finally get keys to our apartment there, and we open up the apartment, and there's furniture everywhere. And we're like, what in the world is going on? Rebecca kind of, there was some water coming from her eyes. I don't know. It must have been dust or something. It's not what we thought, not what we expected. But it was where God was leading. And even though things weren't the way we thought they were supposed to be, God was there. Sometimes it doesn't look like what we think it's supposed to look like, but if God's leading us, it's where we're supposed to be. And sometimes what we think it's supposed to look like is the wrong thing for us. God says he will go with us. But he's the one that's in charge. He's the one that guides. He's the one that leads. He's not a co-pilot. He's the pilot. He's the guide. He's the leader. And if he doesn't go with us, if he's not leading us, wherever it is we're trying to go is the wrong place. The only right place is where God is. And we've been talking in the last couple of months, there's conflict in the United Methodist Church. And we're asked as a congregation to figure out what our relationship is going to be with the United Methodist Church as we move forward. Last Sunday, I asked that you begin praying as we begin to make our decision on what our future is. We'll pray, fast on Thursdays at noon. Continue to pray. We have a church conference on September 6th where we will decide what our future is with the United Methodist Church. Do we remain United Methodist Church in the United Methodist Church, or do we do something different? And the real question, I think, is going to be, where is God? Because we don't want to go to something different. We don't want to go to something where God isn't. And so our prayer should be, show us where you are and help us to follow faithfully. God, you have to go with us. Because if you're not with us, we should just lock the doors and walk away. If you're not with us, if you're not guiding us, there's other things we can be doing. We should be following faithfully wherever God is leading, whatever God is saying to us, so that people know that God is with us, that He is guiding us, and that they can see that there's something different about us as His people. How many of you have a cell phone this morning? Most everybody has a cell phone. Most of us plug our cell phones in at night, get them charged and ready for the next day. Sometimes we forget, or sometimes we're not at a place where we can charge them, we can plug them in, get them ready, and so the next day, they're not fully powered. They're drained a little bit. And if we keep using it and we keep going without powering it, it'll eventually die. The power slowly drains until there is no more power. I've gotten several portable chargers that I typically send with my kids when they go out of town for football or basketball or UIL or whatever it is they're going to do, because I want to make sure they have power, they're able to communicate with me, and we're able to communicate with them to make sure that we pick them up at the right time, or we need to let them know of a change of plans. But I will often catch Jacob in the living room with one of the portable chargers plugged into his phone, or I'll catch him in the fellowship hall hanging out with one of the portable chargers plugged into his phone, and it drives me nuts. My thought is, if you're in a building, you can plug your phone into the wall and charge it from that and not waste the portable charger. Now, I know the portable charger is rechargeable, but I want to make sure they're fully charged when I hand it to them, and if he's using it, I don't know it's fully charged. My issue, I know. Now, several years ago, Benjamin would do the same thing, but Benjamin's phone wouldn't keep a charge very well. And so he kept his phone plugged into a charger so that it was always charging, always ready to be used, always had power. He would walk around with that portable charger, and we were always able to get a hold of him because he always had his phone charged. We need to stay connected to our power source. We need to be connected to God all the time. And until God tells us something different, we keep doing what He's told us to do. And unless God goes with us, we wait for His guidance. We learn to trust Him that He will provide, and we have the attitude that if God doesn't go with us, we shouldn't leave where we are. If God isn't moving us, if God isn't guiding us, then we wait on Him until He is ready to guide us. Because He's not inactive. He's at work. And in that work, He's preparing something for us. And in that preparing, He's going to bless us. And by blessing us, we have the opportunity to bless others. What kind of attitude will you have? Will you have the same attitude as Moses? Go with us, or don't send us. Or we're going to do something even if it's the wrong thing. What's our attitude going to be? Let's pray. Father God, we want to be faithful to You. We want to be faithful to where You're leading us, where You're guiding us. Sometimes we're just not sure. So in the coming days and the coming weeks, give us a clarity. Give us a clarity of where you're leading us. And may we know that your presence is with us. May we know that you have found favor with us. May we know that people see us differently because we are your people and your presence is with us. May we wait patiently for your guidance. May we learn to trust faithfully for you to provide. May we wait on you so that we can be faithful and tell the world who you are and what you do. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. Let us stand.